dead can raise you from whatever, however low you are. He can lift you up and raise you up and put you back on your feet. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Well, give the Lord a hand of applause. Yeah. Well, I was at a function the other day. This lady come up to me. Didn't know her from Adam. She said, that preaching series is good. She said, you really hit me on talking about my past. I said, really? She said, yeah. She said, I just started listening to you here about a few weeks ago. But she said, my mother was in a nursing home in Tennessee and listened to you all the time. She said, we got our laptop back a couple of years ago, and somehow or another she came across your church's website, and she said she was 75 years old, and we taught her how to use the computer, and she wiggled her way through there, figuring it all out, and listened to you one Sunday. Been listening to you ever since you passed away about a month ago. And she said, you need to listen to this guy, especially since you live in Louisville. You believe in miracles?
Amen.
This little church is reaching out, folks. And I said, well, I'm glad that it helped you. I said, I'm going to deal with the loss of it. She said, yeah, that one on anger helped me too. And let me tell you something. I told you about the book. Some people already went out and got the book. Judy, you got the book. Was it pretty easy to get?
Oh, yeah. Amazon.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. You need to have this in your library. And you can read right along with me as we look at all this stuff. God's survival guide to understanding what it's all about. I'm sorry. We have nursery today. All right, nursery time. Nursery time. Pray for Karen. Hey, one other thing before I get to rolling here. It's good to see Miss Jewel in the house. I'm not teasing you, I mean that. For all that it takes to get you here, and the help it takes to get you here, when people tell me, oh, I'm not feeling the best today, hogwash.
That's right.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now again, for some of you maybe who have missed a few weeks, this is in a different format of what I'm doing. I read this. This is stuff that I want to make sure that you get. Today we're going to talk about anxiety, oh, this is good, and bitterness. Both can rob you of your health and put you in a bad place in life, let me tell you. I read the introduction every week, let me read it to you. Thoughts are things, powerful things. Our thoughts have the power to lift us up or hold us back. Our prevailing attitudes have the power to create happiness or dissatisfaction, joy or pain, peace or stress, success or failure. You believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's deal. I'm taking these in alphabetical order. For those of you who've got the book, just turn to page 19. But those of you that are not, we'll be looking at some scripture, and we're going to start off with the subject first of anxiety, and we're going to end up with bitterness. Anxiety will destroy your health and life. Listen to the writer. We live in a world that sometimes seems to shift beneath our feet. We live in an uncertain world, a world where tragedies can befall even the most godly among us. You believe that? Just because you come to church every Sunday doesn't mean that you're not going to have to deal with illness, death, depression, guilt. Satan will try to destroy you like he will everybody else. He cannot get your soul, but he'll try to make your life miserable. And we are members of an anxious society, a society in which the changes we face threaten to outpace our abilities to make adjustments. People do not deal with changes very well. Monica and I hopefully have moved for the last time. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Tell you, when I was younger, it was okay. We build a house, we move into it. Build a house, move into it. I'm hoping that them days is over with, because it gets me anxious. And when it does, it makes me mean. No.
Our next address is heaven.
That's right. No wonder we sometimes find ourselves beset by feelings of anxiety and panic. What follows anxiety? Panic. At times, our anxieties may stem from physical causes, chemical imbalances in the brain that result in severe emotional distress and relentless panic attacks. In such cases, modern medicine offers hope to those who suffer. Now, let me say this. I'm going to say it real fast. Make sure you understand it, though, because I won't stay a lot of time here. There are some times that medication helps us. I take 3 pills a day. I understand that, okay? Sometimes it takes medicine, but a lot of times it takes Jesus. Let's see what the writer says. But oftentimes, our anxieties result from spiritual deficiencies, not physical ones. And when we're spiritually depleted, the best prescription is found not in the medicine cabinet, but deep inside the human heart. What we need is a higher, daily dose of God's love, God's peace, God's assurance, and God's presence. Give a hand of applause. And how do we acquire these blessings from our Creator? Through prayer, through meditation, through worship, through trust and faith. We think. Read one more time. Are you playing a baby? Clap your own in. Through prayer. Through meditation, I didn't say medicine, I said meditation, through worship, and through trust and faith. Now give the Lord a hand of applause. Oh, here's a good one. Listen to this. Prayer. You believe in the power of prayer?
Amen.
It's changed your life, hasn't it? Prayer is a powerful antidote to anxiety. Antidote, the fancy word to say answer. So too is a regular time of devotional reading and meditation. When you're anxious, sometimes what you need to do, instead of grabbing medicine, grab the Bible. Huh? What do you think about that deal? Think that's true? When we spend quiet moments in the divine presence of our Heavenly Father, we are reminded once again that our troubles are temporary, but His love is forever. Read that one more time. Through prayer, through meditation, through worship, through trust. Prayer is a powerful antidote to anxiety. When we spend quiet moments in the divine presence of our Heavenly Father, we are reminded once again that our troubles are temporary. Troubles are temporary. But His love is forever. Wow. Worship, like prayer, is another tool that helps us. Coming to church, worshiping God, can overcome the worries and doubts of our anxious age. Now let me say this, anxiety can come at any age. With what our children see today, we have more children on medication today under the age of 10 than we've ever had in any lifetime. Understand, anxiety is not just for people who are in their 70s or 80s. It's in children. Teenagers. Can you imagine what they're facing? what they're looking at, what they're dealing with. No wonder they're looking for answers in alcohol and drugs. You're just looking for something to calm them down. Let's try giving them Jesus and see what happens.
Amen.
When we worship God sincerely with our words, with our thoughts, with our prayers, and with our deeds, we are blessed. Blessings are not automatic. But when we do the best we can, God sees we're doing the best we can, He takes over. Because He can take the best we've got, no matter what it is, and take it to the next level when we exercise faith in Him. Everybody understand that? Say amen. That's right. But the reverse is also true. When we fail to worship God for whatever reason, we forfeit the spiritual gifts that He intends to be ours. Let me say this, make sure you hear me very well. Any chance you've got to come and worship God, folks, do not pass upon it, because you're passing upon time is fleeting. One time that you miss church gets into two times, three times, four times, 10 times. Then you're out of church, you're out of God's will, and you're out of God's blessings.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, that deserves a hand. From time to time, all of us face life-changing personal losses that leaves us breathless. We all know that. When we do, God stands ready to protect us. When we are troubled, we must call upon God, and in His own time and according to His own plan, He will heal us. I don't care what that healing is needed. Physical, spiritual, emotional, financial. Even death is healing for a Christian person. When I take my last breath, I won't have to deal with everything that I've got to deal with today. You understand that? Death can even be a blessing to those who are Christian. Because then I won't have to deal with anxiety and panic and all the stuff that goes along. I won't have to deal with all the stuff I have to deal with. Not that I'm complaining. I'm just saying a day is coming when I won't need a doctor. I won't need a nurse. I won't need a psychiatrist. I won't need any medicine. I won't need anything, because I've got Jesus with me day and night, forever, 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 and ever. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Are you anxious? Question mark. Take those anxieties to God. Are you troubled? Question mark. Take your troubles to Him. Does your world seem to be trembling beneath your feet? Everybody here knows that's true. You don't ever know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. What's going to happen today, tomorrow, or next week. You don't have a clue. But even though the ground around me may cause me to stumble, Jesus is there to pick me up, lift me up. He's there to make me stable when the world around me is not stable. Seek protection from the one who cannot be moved, who controls everything. The same God who created the universe will protect you if you ask Him. So ask Him. Read it one more time. You know, this seems simple, folks, but we make it hard. The same God who created the universe will protect you if you ask Him. The writer just says, so ask. Ask. What did Jesus say? Ask and you shall what? Give the Lord a hand of applause. Alright, let's take a look at our first piece of scripture, Larry. Look what it says here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. In nothing be anxious. You see this? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, in other words, put action behind your prayer. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Because the opposite of
of anxiety is peace. So guard your hearts. Guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. You need your heart guarded, I'll tell you that right now. You need your thoughts guarded. Because if they're not, Satan has a way to get into your heart, get into your thoughts, mess with you, get you anxious, get your health out of whack. You begin to look at the world as if the world's against you and God's against you. One of the farthest things from the truth. Sometimes, folks, if I've got nothing else on my side, I've got God. And if I've got God, I don't need anything else on my side. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, folks. Here's a subject that is absolutely tearing people apart. And it's called bitterness. Satan has a field day with this. Are you marred in the quicksand of bitterness or regret? Question mark. If so, be forewarned. You are not only disobeying your heavenly Father, you are wasting your time. The world holds few, if any, rewards for those who remain angrily focused upon the past injustices. And neither, for that matter, does God. When you hold on to bitterness, the only one is rewarded for it is sin. Ain't no rewards for you. Jesus has nothing to do with it. God's word is clear. All right, Brother Larry, I think Isaiah, this is our next one. Let's look at it. It's actually the 43rd chapter, I believe. Look at verse 18 and 19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Did you see that? Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. Isn't that neat? You see what this is saying? When you think it's time to give up, you're bitter on life, you're bitter on everything about it, you are drowning in sand. Look what it says here. I'll bring you a river in the desert if you'll ask for it. If you'll ask for it, I can turn things around. Now, he may not make you rich. He may not give you everything that you want. But I promise you, he will bring you what you need to get you out of the mire of bitterness in your life. You believe that?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
And I will do a new thing. Let the old go. Let it go. All it's going to do is put you in the grave earlier than you need to be. Jesus says, it's a new birth. It's a new day. It's a new way of life. One day we're going to be in a new heaven and a new earth. New, new, new. The word old ain't mentioned nowhere. Do you get that? Give the Lord a hand of applause. Instead of entrusting the past of God's providence, we dwell upon the misfortunes of yesterday. The irony of our short-sightedness is this. By following ourselves to become embittered by our disappointments, we set ourselves up for even more disappointments in the future. Why? Because bitter hearts yield bitter fruits. Let's go to the next verse. Jesus says, for each tree is known by its own fruit. For thorns men do gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You get what Jesus is saying there? You get that? Bitter hearts bring forth bitter action. A grateful heart brings forth grateful action. It don't take you long to figure out who's bitter in this world, does it? You're pretty smart, aren't you? You've been around somebody bitter? Let me tell you something, folks, it's not attractive. It's no fun. I mean, there's no good in nothing. Everything they talk about is bad. Now, get me wrong. If you watch that TV enough, you listen to everybody, you'll know, oh, yeah, there's some bad things in this world. But don't be surprised about that, because God said it's going to get worse where it gets better. But it's going to get better if you hang on to Jesus. Concentrate on the better, not the past. You understand? Say amen.
Amen.
Be frail, fallible, imperfect human beings as we are. Most of us are quick to anger, quick to blame, slow to forgive, and even slower to forget. Does that describe you?
Yeah.
And that's the truth. Yet as Christians, we are commanded to forgive others just as we too have been forgiven. The Bible teaches us that if we judge our brothers and sisters too, we will be subject to judgment. Let us refrain then from judging our neighbors. Instead, let us, what? Forgive them, love them, while leaving their judgment to a far more capable authority, the one who sits on the throne of heaven. Jesus says, you better watch how you judge, Roger. You better watch it real close. Because, son, one of these days, if all you do is have a judging heart, you're going to have to face me. It's going to come back to you, aren't you? What's that say? It says, be careful what you do. Be careful what you say. There are no perfect people on this planet. You're not perfect, nor is anybody else. The only difference between us and a lost person is that we're saved by the love of Jesus Christ. We put our clothes on the same way. I don't care whether you're white, green, blue, or yellow. If you do wrong, you're going to answer for it. Try to live right, you're going to be blessed. Jesus doesn't see color. He doesn't see gender. All he sees is the heart. Do you understand that? Give the Lord a hand of applause and say, bitterness is a spiritual sickness that can consume us if we let it. Our challenge as responsible believers who seek to walk with God is this. We must train ourselves to think and pray. Think and pray in ways that remove the poison of bitterness from our hearts. Bitterness is poison. It will kill you spiritually, emotionally, physically, and every way else if you do not get that poison out. If you are caught up in intense feelings of anger or resentment, that describes a lot of us, you know all too well the destructive power of these emotions. How can you rid yourself of these feelings? Number one, you must prayerfully ask God to cleanse your heart. No one can take the bitterness away from you. Your spouse can't do it. Your children can't do it. Your church can't do it. Your preacher can't do it. Your boss can't do it. The only person that can do it is Jesus Christ. He can do it and can do it today. And I don't care how far back this bitterness goes. He can change it today. Give the Lord a hand of applause. If there exists even one person, alive or dead, against whom you hold bitter thoughts, it's time to forgive. Or if you are embittered against yourself for some past mistake or shortcoming, it's finally time to forgive yourself and move on. Move on. Move up. Move up. Become a part of the Church of God. Become a part of Christianity. Accept Jesus. Let the change take place. And they can do it. Because believe me, folks, it's time to move on and move up. Wow. Remember that bitterness does not part of God's plan for your life. So pray, think, and forgive. All right, Larry, let's take a look at the last piece of scripture. Behold, out of Isaiah says, it was for my peace that I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered from the pit of corruption. Bitterness equals corruption. You know why? It's because if you're concentrating on bitterness, you're not concentrating on God. And if you're not concentrating on God, corruption will come in place. I promise you that. For thou hast cast all of my sins behind thy back. When he forgives you, folks, it's gone. It's gone. It's behind you. Leave anxiety and bitterness. Don't be afraid. Put it in God's hands. Let him take your life. Control your life. I'm telling you, folks, this is powerful if you believe it. This is powerful and life-changing. And everybody in this congregation and everybody that watches me needs it. The hour is here. This world's not getting better. It's getting worse by the day. You keep your eyes on Jesus, and I promise you, you will have no troubles worth talking about. All Satan will nibble at you a little bit. Nibbling's okay as long as you don't eat the whole. Get the point? But I tell you, the more Jesus is in me, the less Satan has a chance. Do you see it? Are you listening? Are you watching? Are you ready? As we look and move forward in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Stand with me, please. Clear your heads bowed and every eye is open. Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, we thank you for grace this hour. Father, to those who are dealing with anxiety, those who are dealing, Father, with bitterness, Father, may they give that up. May they understand. And Father, they can't do it on their own. They need you to do it. But Father, you promised us in your word that once we turn it over to you, you can heal the soul. If there be one here today that's lost, Father, it is my prayer. It is my prayer that, Father, they will come to know you. The clock is running. Time is running out. Today is the day of salvation. Father, we thank you for your grace. If you're watching by internet today, find you a good church home. Get into a place, if you have the health to do that, that preaches Jesus. Understand. Jesus is coming. We need an army of God's people that are ready, willing to speak, preach, teach, and live for him every day. May that begin with this church and this congregation. Father, bless this invitation. To anyone who needs a short time at this altar, we invite them to come. To those, Father, who just need a word of prayer, want me to pray with them, I would be glad to do that. Whatever is in your heart, we invite you to come. In Jesus' name. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus?